Welcome to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com. You know, we want to give a plug out to our Doghouse Unhinged. If you're a Patreon supporter of the show, that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N .com/NTN. You can get the Unhinged version where we talked about a bunch of different things, including what happened over in Manchester, and we also talked about shark repellent. And
12-year-old beating up a 24-year-old. 12-year-olds
beating
MMA.
Up 24-year-olds, the circus, clowns. You know, I mean, it's just what's
Roger
ever,
Moore.
Roger Moore. You know, and a whole bunch of other things that we talk about on that show that are just, you know, things that pique our interest, I guess is the best way to put that. Ken's not with us today, and I'm kind of bummed that he's not. You know, just because of what's happened over the last 7 days.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear, you know, Ken's take, because Ken doesn't like anything.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to hear what he had to
well,
say.
Well, no, not that. I mean, you know, Nikki Haden was on the show a long time ago, right? So, you know, I mean, he was a guest. If you don't know, obviously, we'll catch you up to date. Last week, Wednesday in the morning, I think it was around like 10 o'clock Wednesday morning, I saw something on Facebook or Twitter, I don't remember which, saying that Nikki Haden, the first report I read was while on a charity ride, got hit by a car while he was on his bicycle, right? And then I saw that it was training, right? Which a lot of motorcycle racers ride bikes for training. So I'm not 100% sure on the details of that. I've heard a couple each way, although training seems to be more dominant now. And he'd gotten hit, and I knew it was bad when
you saw the car.
Well, no, even before I saw the car, when the hospital had made the announcement to stay, that their prognosis was guarded. Right.
So yeah, that's never a good.
That's
thing.
That's never a good thing. You know, when they say, "Oh, you know, we'll have to see how it goes," and blah 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 blah. You know, I feel like that's a good thing. That's a better thing. And then some details started going out, and I actually felt much better when Rossi went to see the doctor. Right, like that's like the equivalent of Will Smith walking into the doctor's office to check on you. Right, when Valentino Rossi in Italy walks in the hospital to talk to the doctor about you, means I know Nikki was getting the best care he could get. Right, that there was no better doctor anywhere nearby, because Rossi didn't come out and say I'm flying a doctor in from anywhere. And Rossi and Haden have developed a friendship over the years. You know, they had that great battle in 2006 and stuff, and you know, I think Haden was always one of the guys. Every time you read something about one of the racers in MotoGP, they talk about Haden always being the coolest guy at the track, right? And he was just a fun, you know, he was an American hillbilly having the time of his life.
No, they never say anything really. You know, they never. I haven't followed racing that long, but no one ever really said anything bad about him.
No, and he was a flat tracker, and over in Europe, they all have a big respect for that. And he could ride. You know, there's no doubt when he was on a fast bike, he was good. It's a shame in his prime that he switched to Ducati, that just wasn't a good bike. And that kind of ruined him and stuff like that. You know, not ruined him as much as made it like, oh, well, you know, maybe he's not that good of a rider.
No, you can't. He wasn't competitive.
Right, he wasn't competitive, and there's always new guys coming up. So anyways,
yeah,
that was like Wednesday that we heard about the accident, right?
Right.
Then late Wednesday, we started seeing pictures of the car and the bike.
Yeah, the bike was pretty much
broken in half. And the car was a mess. And I said, oh, man, that's not good. You know, I mean, although everybody wears a helmet when they're racing, I mean, when they're training and they're riding, now everybody wears helmets when they ride, especially fast. You know, it's like, oh, all right. You know, and they were talking about his chest. Then I saw some reports saying that they put him in an medically induced coma, right? Which I take as a sign of positivity, right? As somebody who has been in the hospital and not been healthy enough to be put into a coma, a medically induced coma. I view that as they felt he was stable enough to do that, right? But then Earl Hayden, Nikki's father, came out on Twitter and he called up Road Racing World and put out this thing saying he's not in a medically induced coma, you know, that this is all wrong and everything like that, because a lot of people were reporting that because that was what was going around, you know, and we were really guarded about what we put out on Facebook and Twitter.
A lot of different things came out, and some of it was true and some of it wasn't.
And including on Thursday morning, there was the rumor that he had passed. On Thursday morning, and you know, I saw it. I didn't repost that because I didn't think the sites that it was on, they were sites I'd never heard of. Right? It wasn't on MotoGP. It wasn't on any of these other things. And I went to Road Racing World, and I went to like Colin Edwards' Twitter feed, and some of the other racers, and Roger Hayden, you know, a couple of the other guys, and I didn't see anything that did that. And then it came out a couple hours later that those were fake news reports, right? And they weren't websites I'd ever heard of.
Like, so you mean it was Associated Press?
Yeah.
Well, I'm being mean, so I shouldn't do that.
No, it was like some off-site that you know, I just didn't feel was credible enough to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through the weekend, you know, and then there was the Rossi press conference where he talked about him, you know, and stuff. And there was, you know, on Thursday and Friday, there was a press conference at the MotoGP weekend. And, you know, of course, during the broadcast and stuff, they all talked about him.
Right.
And then yesterday around noontime, I catch wind of a Fox News article that just got posted up, foxsports.com, saying Nikki Hayden passed. Fox News, whether you like Fox or not, Fox Sports does do their research, their checks. Right? So I put that up on our page literally 15 seconds after they posted the article, and I said, hey, you know,
sad day.
Foxsports.com is reporting this. They're usually pretty good. I don't have anything confirming it, right? And then I saw a Twitter link that was a press conference at the hospital from the doctor saying he passed. So to me, that's a confirmation. And it hurt, I don't want to say it hurt like, oh, it was brokenhearted, but it hurt. I mean, you know, we watch the guy, we root for the guy. We give him crap all the time, you know. But he's still the last American to win a championship. He still was always good, you know. There's not many people, like you said before. There's not many people you hear that say a bad thing about Nikki Hayden.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just to remind folks of what he's done in the past, because you know, like you said earlier, last few years he hasn't been that highly relevant in the sport because he's not had the best bikes. But, you know, in 1999, he was the AMA Super 600 Super Sport Champion. Mm-hmm. In 2002, he was the AMA Superbike Champion.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2006, he was the MotoGP World Champion.
Yeah.
So he's been a champion. He's been a highly ranked champion multiple times.
And he raced.
And when he wasn't the champion, he did finish well.
Yeah, and he ran flat track here in the U.S., plus he did the road racing. You know, the Hayden boys were known for doing both. And he'd become the face pretty much. I know this sounds weird, right? But he had pretty much become the face of American road racing or American motorcycle racing, right? Like, even though Ben Spies had won a world an AMA championship, right, and went over and won World Superbike, right? It was Nikki Hayden everybody talked about. Nikki Hayden, he's in MotoGP. Nikki Hayden, Nikki Hayden, Nikki Hayden, right? And when Ducati signed him, I mean, pretty much Ducati signed him because they were like, that's going to help us in the U.S. market, right? Which I was surprised that Honda didn't keep him, you know, didn't offer up the more money at the time. You know, and he was a big draw for American road racing, and this hurts American road racing, right? Because there is no
Oh, it takes us completely off the world stage.
Yeah, but it also he was the biggest name in our sport, even though he wasn't racing in the Americas. You know, there were people, and they said, oh, you know, maybe he would come back and retire from World Superbike and run Moto America or run a team in Moto America and stuff like that. You know, there's all the speculations of things he would have done. I don't know what he would honestly done, right? But I do know, of everybody I can remember, it was him and his three brothers are the only ones I ever remember on The Late Show, right? They were on with Jay Leno or whatever his show is. What's his show? Late Night?
Tonight.
Tonight or whatever? The Tonight Show. Whatever it is. I don't know. I don't watch any of that crap. But they were on there, you know, back in, I think, 05. You know, they were. He brought road racing to the American people. He was a name that people who didn't follow road racing knew Nicky Hayden. Right? Ben Spies, who I think was a very talented rider, nobody knew Ben Spies' names. I'm not picking on Ben Spies. I loved Ben Spies. I thought he was a great racer. But Nicky Hayden was the name everybody knew. And he's gone. You know, bicycling's dangerous, right? You know, I mean, we watch these guys and they bounce all over the track. I mean, look at the Moto 3 race where 12 people crashed, including more than 12. Half the field crashed, and literally, I think out of the top 12, only one guy stayed on his bike in one of the turns, right? And we watch people, and Rossi took a bad tumble, and all these people. Marquez crashed out, right? And these guys, and they pop up and they walk away, and we're like, whoo, those guys can survive anything. They're indestructible. And then we get this reminder.
Yeah. Well, you get a lot more safety gear on a motorcycle race than you do on a bicycle training.
You do. And you don't have a car on the track with you.
Right.
You know, and it's a shame. Our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. You know, I know we had some rough things to say about Roger last week, and I'm not sorry for any of that. Right, but I do feel for him today, you know, and yesterday, and even all last week of what he must have been going through. You know, I know their father Earl has been sick, that's why he didn't make the trip over, and that's got to break his heart. You know, I know things can't be easy for the family, and it's a shame. You know, we've watched him race for so many years, competitively and not competitively. I mean, a couple years ago, he was the joke. He was a butt of jokes here, right? Then he went to World Superbike on a Honda, which I was glad to see him go back to Honda. But again, it wasn't the competitive bike. But
now it's the first year of the new Fireblade, and they just don't have it.
They don't have it yet. You know, but the other thing is what greater bike development guy can you bring than a MotoGP champ, than a world champion, you know, and stuff like that. So I feel like while he was 35, recently engaged, you know, set to be married soon, which sucks for his fiance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that he had a good life ahead of him doing what he wanted to do, whatever that was. You know, I want to say in like 04 or 05, he was voted like one of People Magazine's top bachelors and stuff. You know, I mean, he had a lot of things going on. And I know the brothers, Tommy, Roger, and Nicky, in from what I've always seen of them, is they were pretty close. And I'm sure this hurts Roger and Tommy a lot, too. So it sucks. I don't know. It's kind of ruined my whole day because I wanted to be happy and yell and scream about things and just don't feel like it today.
Which is hard to believe
because I actually have a lot to like yell and scream about. So I think, is there anything you want to say? I know I felt like I talked too much.
No, you said everything that needed to be said. You know, I just reminded, you know, we reminded people what he did in the past because it is in the past and people seem to have an easy time forgetting about that kind of stuff.
You know, speaking of the past, I think one of the coolest things that I've seen on Facebook and Twitter is a lot of guys who are racing now. Guys like Anthony Masiato Jr., right? Had a post about how, you know, when he was a geeky little kid motorcycle racing, that Hayden, not only, you know, did he get at an event get to see him, but ended up talking to him for about an hour telling them how to go faster. Right? You know,
that was nice.
Yeah, and Brad Baker and Brian Smith and all the, you know, Kenny Kubrick said, you know, hey man, I liked racing with that guy and talking with that guy, you know, and all these guys that we see as stars of the motorcycle sports around here now, a lot of them are like, hey, when I was coming up, that's who I wanted to be. That's, you know, and I feel like it's a big loss for American motorcycle racing. It's a huge loss for his family, and hopefully, everybody says every cloud has a silver lining. I don't see it in this one, but hopefully his family can, you know, recover as best you can from something like this, and you know, maybe this will be a kick in the ass that Roger will
win. We'll step it up.
Suzuki bikes on his Suzuki, his races on Suzuki and stuff. I don't. Or it's going to crush his season, right? It's going to go
one way or the other.
He's going to, the next time he races, it's going to be so emotional for him. It could be a records or checkers kind of race, you know, where he's either hanging all out there or just don't have it in me. So that kind of sucks. I kind of want to move on from that, refocus the show and stuff. I want to talk some flat track. We have motocross. We have flat track at the Sacramento Mile.
Hangtown Motocross.
Hangtown was for motocross, and MotoGP was at Le Mans. But before I get into that, I got a little bit of hate mail from last week.
No, you didn't.
No.
Somebody actually, you know, sent us something?
Nobody ever cared. I can say all kinds of stupid stuff. I didn't even attack Road Racing World, and I get hate mail. I wasn't attacking Road Racing World. But what I was saying is I think sometimes they come off a little too guarded. I'll be honest with you. I had the same feeling yesterday when noon Eastern, the news was out about Hayden, and Road Racing World didn't report it till 3 p.m. West Coast time, right? Which is, what, 6 hours afterwards? Or was it 3 p.m.? No, it was 3 p.m. East Coast time. It was still a three-hour delay, and I get it that they wanted to be guarded, and they wanted, you know, and it's, sometimes they're just in too much with the racers, right? And I'm sure that was a complete respect thing for Tommy and Roger and Earl and the family, and I get it, right? But that's what I was saying about Road Racing World. It's not that they're not a great news source. It's not that they don't do a great job. It's just sometimes I feel they're a little too embedded.
So somebody dinged you about your comments?
Yeah, somebody was like, how can you not like Road Racing World, and they're an aficionado, and they are, right? We use their site all the time. Right, I'm pretty much, that's the only place you can get Moto America results. But you know, I wasn't doing that. I have the utmost respect for John Ulrich and Chris Ulrich and David Schwartz and a bunch of the people there. I mean, I think they all do a phenomenal job. I just feel like sometimes instead of being reporters, they tend to be people involved.
You're trying not to use the word fanboy.
No, fanboy's not the right word.
Well, it seems like that's what you're trying to get at.
Fanboy would be as if they always spun everything in a positive light and they were looking at it from an out, like, I want Roger Hayden to win because of this, right? It's not that. It's that they're so embedded in the racing that it's almost like they own part of it. Maybe they do. Maybe Road Racing World owns part of Moto America. I don't know. They could be an investor. We don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like they would have said something, but
I think they would have the responsibility to say something.
Right. But, you know, so it's not a fanboy as much as I feel like sometimes they're just that way. So I don't want to harp on that other than to say that I was not attacking Road Racing World. If I was attacking anybody, it was actually Moto America. And I was not pooping on any of the riders, which no one really accused me of, but they did say there was people that thought I was rough on.
Yeah, I think the whole thing there was that we were aiming at Moto America needs a really good publicist.
Yes, and that's
what they need. To get the word out about the sport. The racing's good. right? But no one knows about it.
This. Oh God.
Now we're just going to get down that same train again.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say, like Hayden, Nicky, when he got the bump for MotoGP, right? It caught the attention of Jay Leno, who's a gearhead, right? Jay Leno is a gearhead, and the Hayden brothers were on. You can watch on YouTube. The whole interview is up there, right? They got a segment on the Tonight Show where that was great exposure, right? We're not doing anything to get that kind of exposure, and maybe we don't have anybody that get that kind of exposure, and that all sucks. But let's move on.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
I think we don't need to beat the dead horse again.
I don't want to beat the dead horse again. I want to talk flat track at the Sacramento Mile, which I love.
Forgot all about flat track again this week.
Again. So the Sacramento Mile is just a great track. I've never been to it.
How big is it?
It's actually a mile.
Wow.
But it's a huge track where you slide big slides in the turn and drafting on the straightaways, right? Which is just cool, right? That's just cool that you can draft and everything. And we have something we've never, ever, 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 ever had before in the history of flat track.
Oh, this is ought to be good because flat track's been around a long time.
At least in any records I could find. We have had our first female back-to-back winner. Shayna Texter won again this week. She won last week, which is huge. Shayna Texter is the only woman to ever win a professional flat track race. One of only two women who have ever won a professional motorcycle race here in the U.S. Her and Elena Myers. For a long time, they both had two wins each. Now Shayna Texter is at four wins with two back-to-back. She did the Lima half mile and now the mile track. She's on a bit of a hot streak. She rides for Richie Morris Racing. She's running on the American Honda and Al.
In the singles category.
In the singles category, right?
Is that good because is she married?
No, she is not married. Then well, I know
that works out fine.
Her brother's married. I think that's why he rides twins. She won back-to-back, which is going to now change some of the standings around. But more importantly, it's that we have our first female winner back-to-back, which is pretty cool. She's on a bit of a hot streak, so I'm totally...
Oh, definitely. Two wins in a row, that's definitely considered a hot streak.
And she's actually taken over the points lead. She had got 87 points. She's got 16 points lead.
Over Team Grandma.
Over Colby Carley, Brandon Price, Dalton Gutierrez, who was the guy who got the...
Team Grandma.
That was
Team Grandma.
Team Grandma, who had the first two wins, who got suspended. I mean, she didn't even make the finals race at Daytona. So she's got a... listen to this, though. Since missing Daytona... Right? Because she didn't make the finals
race.
She didn't make the cut. She has a third at Dixie Speedway, a second at Charlotte, and then Lima and Sacramento first and first.
Podiums all.
All podium. Hasn't come off the podium since then. Tied for the series lead with two wins, and she hits the points leader. So good for her. I think that's pretty awesome. I think that's a great.
Need to get her on the show. You need to work on that.
Yeah, we should. You know, I've actually interviewed her. I did a video interview with her. I don't know if we ever posted it. I probably should look. A year ago or 2 years ago at Hagerstown.
That would be 2 years ago because they didn't have Hagerstown last year or this year.
Last time they ran Hagerstown. They are going to be at Williams Grove. We're probably going to have to go up to that. I think that's September 9th. I don't know what you're doing September 9th, but I'm thinking road trip to Williams Grove.
Yeah, sounds good
there,
to me.
Up there in Pennsylvania.
I don't think I have anything at this moment planned.
And did I mention she drafted and took the lead with about 5 feet to go in the race?
No, you did not.
Yes, she did. It was pretty exciting.
Shoot. That's
you can catch, they have highlights of her win on YouTube.
Yeah, but they don't have the whole races, do they?
I think they will in the next couple days. Okay. Usually they post them up a couple days
after. I had to look at them historically because, again, I forgot.
Yeah, that's all right.
And which is kind of surprising because usually you get those Facebook pop-ups when they're broadcasting live.
Yeah.
And I'm able to jump in
this time.
I wonder if they, did they, Did they even put it on Facebook this time?
I don't know. I was watching on Fans Choice. I had already been up there. And then in the Twins, again, all Indians on the podium.
Not surprising.
Not surprising. Brian Smith, then Jared Meese and Brad Baker. I mean, they just...
They're the three best in...
Well, Sammy Halbert's in there in the points race because Baker missed Daytona also. And he had a 16th, which really screwed him up. But if you look, I mean, no one's won a race yet other than Brian Smith or Jared Meese. Listen to this.
Overall, they're the three best consistent racers
there
are in flat track.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like they're going to be changing much. Indian got jumped.
Indian got jumped. Harley got jumped. They got blindsided, and it was too late to recover.
Yeah, by the time they had already lost the fight, by the time they knew they were in it.
Well, like I said early on, even the bikes are 100% equal, which they apparently aren't. There was no, they got the best riders.
Yeah. So again, another dominating all three podiums for flat track for the Indians and.
But if that happens all season long, it's not going to be good for the sport.
No, not much to say there, other than some of the Kawasaki's are actually doing good. So it'd be interesting to see if one of the Kawasaki's can get a win. It'd be great for the sport if Harley could get a win.
Yes.
It'd be great. But
now, are the Kawasaki's all privateers, or does Kawasaki are they sponsoring a bike?
I think they're all privateers with whatever they call that when you get some money from the... From the thing,
sponsorship, but they're not factory rides, but they're not sponsors.
I don't think they're factory rides.
It would be nice if Kawasaki or Yamaha or somebody else would come in as with factory rides too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that'd be Yamaha and Kawasaki should, because I think that'd be a great thing for the sport. Of course they had their Brian Smith dedicated to Wyndon. Nikki Hayden, and that everybody was talking about him at the flat tracker. You know, I mean, it was a flat tracker too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys, there's a tight bond in there, and so everybody there was kind of the same boat as what we are today. Just shocked about it and bummed. Then we had Hangtown, the beginning of motocross. So for the first time, well, we should talk 250s.
Well, before you do that,
all right.
I'm just going to go through a couple names here. So these are the people who are not racing at the moment in motocross. Of course, you know Ryan Dungey. He retired.
He retired.
Ken Roczen, who they interviewed at the track, not racing.
Well, they also said, the track announcers also said, you know, one of the things I was going to start with, but then I want to talk 250s, is they said in 450s for the first time this season, they weren't going to have any defending champs start a race.
Right.
Which means Roxanne's not coming back.
Or no one who is not defending, but no one who's ever won a championship.
Right, that's what I mean. No former champion. No former champion. And so that to me says that they're already planning on Roxanne not coming back for that.
He said he's not going to be back at all this season. He's getting ready for next season. Davey Millsaps is going to have both wrists operated on.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Kinnard missed Hangtown. He thinks he's going to be back in a few weeks, but the impression you're getting listening to the broadcasters, it might be a little longer than that. Jordan Smith was out. Phil Nicoletti's out. Benny Boss is out. Now, these are all guys that are out for different reasons, for different mm-hmm. lengths of times, but both Indycaps are out. Basilia is out. Hampshire's out. Aldridge is out.
You know, Supercross is rough.
Yeah, right? Obviously.
We don't, when the season's going on, I think the races happen so fast that you don't put it, and you also don't put East-West guys, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Supercross is a rough season.
Well, and all these guys, you know their names. You see them they're always somewhere in the finals. They almost always make the finals. But then when I'm reading through this, the one that sounded the worst to me, Chris Aldridge, suffered a collapsed lung, lacerated liver, multiple fractures at the Seattle Supercross. He was the one that overshot the jump and basically went off the course into the... I never heard it was...
I never heard it was that bad.
No.
That's crazy.
I went, when I read this the first time, I went, damn.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, so that's yeah, that's a big that's a list. There's some big names on there.
Yeah.
Right? There's some big names.
So well, all those names are finishers. All yeah. those names are finalists. They get to the finals almost every time.
Yeah.
They might not win, but they're in the finals.
Yeah, and there's some guys who can win there, right? Yep. There are some legit winners there. So let's talk 250s. They're at Hangtown, which I do love the track there at Hangtown. It's just outside of Sacramento.
And that half, little half pipe that they put in there.
Yeah.
makes it a lot of fun to watch.
It's a challenging track, right? Hangtown always seems to develop these grooves, and it can be a real challenging track. In the 250s, Virginia native, hometown guy, Zach Osborne kind of dominated. At times, you didn't think so, but at the end of the day, he was there.
He won both races without knocking the bike out from underneath somebody at the same time.
Yeah.
There was no green motorcycle going flying through the air without a rider because he got run into.
Yeah, you know, and he raced clean. you know, I'm not a fan of that. I thought seeing Cirillo in the first race had a good race. In the second race, I was like, man, he was out front, and I was like, whoo, he's back, and then he dropped way back. I don't know what happened
yeah,
with him.
It's not that he's not in shape. We know he's in shape because we've seen him in Supercross, but he faded pretty hard there.
He faded hard there. Alex Martin, which of the Martin brothers, I don't think anybody was expecting to have the better weekend. You know, normally Jeremy Martin's the one that has the better weekend, but Jeremy had that 35th. I mean, that's pretty, you know, he crashed out. Well, he didn't crash out. He broke down. Yep. He came over
then
a jump
race in race one.
In race one, and then he had the third in race two, but that still screwed up his weekend.
DNF doesn't ever do you very well.
Had a good race.
Yeah, Alex finished second in both races.
No, he finished fourth in both races.
Alex.
Yes, Alex finished fourth in both races. Cianciarulo was second in the first, and Faulkner was second in the second.
Well, I'm looking at the 2017 Hangtown 250 motocross results.
I don't know where you're looking at, but unfavorite that site.
Huh.
Right, because Martin had a 4.4, Plessinger 3.5, Cianciarulo were 2.8, and Austin Faulkner was an 11.2. I think of everything.
Wow, that's kind of weird. This is usually a pretty good site. I'm not going to give their name out because
I wouldn't. Here, when you're looking for results for motocross, just go to promotocross.com.
Well, I'd use them too, but this site, I've never had a problem before. This is really. Based on that, this is really, really, really messed up. It's not even close other than the first place finisher.
Okay. Well, then you know
that's really weird.
Then you know it's wrong. So Plessinger, I think the person I was most thought would do better, obviously Jeremy Martin, but in the second, when his bike was running, he came in third, which I can see Jeremy Martin fighting for wins. Joey Savacci and Justin Hill, the other two Kawasaki guys, Monster Kawasaki guys, I was not impressed with their rides. And McElroth, a 16th and a 10th. I had such hope for you in Supercross.
Yeah,
and then you pooped on my dream.
Something was going on there.
Yeah, you know, some people aren't made for the outdoor season. And Dylan Ferrandez could definitely attest to that, right? He pretty much had the worst weekend of his life with a 36 and a 41. I think I actually beat him in the last race. at least I was beating my television like it was him. But yeah, I kind of felt like Savacci and Justin Hill didn't have great races, and McElroth just had a miserable weekend.
Yeah, well, the only guy that really had a good 250 run was Zach. I mean, everyone else had issues, problems with the bikes, or you know, just or drop falling off. Because the ruts got really, really deep.
Yeah.
Some of them were hub deep on the 450s, so they were even a little bit deeper on the 250s.
They were tank slappers in the 250s. They were up there. You could have walked through them. So, yeah, it was good. But it was good to see the guys out there racing outside. You know, good crowd there and stuff like that. And then we get over to the 450s, and or as Emma once said, the 450s, the 450s, and I don't think it was any shock to anybody that Tomac pulled the double.
No, not really. I mean, because he's still riding a 650 where everyone else is riding a 450.
Well, he didn't look as dominant. I mean, Marvin had a lead for a while. Josh Grant had a lead for a while.
Well, that's in the second race, only because Tomac had such a bad start. But
and he dumped it, right? I mean, that was in the first race. Yeah, in the first race, I guess he did have quite a lead, because I think it was, 22 seconds, dumped it, and still won by 10?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I thought Grant looked better than anything I expected.
He was the one that stood out for the entire weekend. I'm not surprised that Marvin finished in the top two. He could have won, or he could have finished second. I mean, I didn't expect him to go any lower than second, and he didn't. But Josh Grant, I wasn't expecting him to finish third on both races.
How about Dean Wilson, who stepped up to take the other KTM, Red Bull KTM?
Yeah, who the heck is that?
Well, you know, we've talked about him a little bit here and there. He had a 10th, but then the second race he had a 4th. He pulled it together.
Yeah, I mean, he got out early and got out fast.
Got out early, the whole shot, again, like Supercross,
not so much
in motocross, but a good start, not having to pass the guys. You know, the less people you have to pass to get to the front, the better off you are. I thought Dean Wilson for his first week on the bike and stuff did pretty good.
And Cooper Webb, he finished 5th in the first race.
And like ninth.
Ninth in the second. He just doesn't... He fought Tomac hard for a long time in the second race. And I thought, well, there's the Cooper Webb that we remember from the 250s.
Yeah.
But once he got past, he started fading. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, and then and Justin Barcia, again, you know, he shows signs of, wow, he can race, and other signs he can't. I don't know what the deal is with Barcia. It's maybe it's mental. Maybe his head isn't in the game the whole race. Because I feel like he should be able to win, or he should be able to be top fives. You know, I mean, he did finish 5th in the second race. Maybe he should be able to.
He has the potential to be in the top five every week, but something always seems to happen, and
usually it's like he forgets where the throttle is. but it was great to. I was just glad to watch him out there on motocross.
Now the race between Muskin and Tomac there when they were really pushing it, that was some. Awesome racing.
That was good racing. You know,
I love the point where through the half pipe where Marvin went to the very top of the half pipe to cut Tomac off so he could get back in the lead.
Yeah.
That was a spectacular moment.
Well, I think the difference between motocross and supercross is I'm not sure Tomac is going to dominate like he had those 9 wins. Right? I think it's much harder to dominate 2 days in a row. You know what I mean? To win back-to-back races. And I think Muskwin came out of an outdoor season over in Europe. Foreign land. So we'll see. Well, I'm hoping.
The commentators pointed this out. There always seemed to be a thought that Marvin didn't have the killer piece in him. That he was a good technical rider, and that he would ride his lines, and
he's like French, right? Yeah. So they're not known for killing
and
people or
I think
fights.
He kind of put the kibosh on that. He raced Tomac very hard, and he was taking lines all over the place. But that Kawasaki is just so good.
The Kawasaki for years now. If you get the right rider on it,
I just don't think. Based on what we saw in Supercross and based on what we saw in this first race in motocross, I don't think there's another bike that can keep up with it with a good rider on it.
Yeah.
It's just now, it looks like a 650 racing 450.
Right. Now, if Roczen was healthy and racing, which we may never see again, I think him and Tomac would have good fights now that Tomac feels comfortable.
Yeah. Also, what I'm getting at is I think that Marvin now appears to have that that killer effort. We'll see.
I mean, they got Glenn Helen coming up, so we'll see. Josh Grant. You know, Josh Grant, for a guy who did not impress me at all in Supercross, looked pretty good the first two races of motocross.
He did. He's on an almost identical 650 or 650 Kawasaki.
650. So if somebody beats them, obviously they're going to be on a 750, right? Is that how this all works?
That's going to have to work. You know, they're going to have to bring out that two stroke.
Did you see
fuel injected KTM to be able to do that?
Speaking of retarded things, before we jump over to MotoGP, I saw a video. I think I shared it, of a guy who made a 750 Harley into a quad.
Oh yeah, that's been around for a couple of years.
Has that? That was the first I noticed.
There's a company in, I want to say California, but it might be Idaho, that makes those. You can order up a quad out of a Harley Davidson.
Yeah, so I figured sooner or later somebody gonna have a Harley Supercross bike out there for you, Warren.
Well, that would be nice. I wouldn't complain.
You'd be like, yeah, Merkel. So that was motocross. I keep wanting to call it Supercross, but it's not. But it's motocross. They'll be at Glen Helen this weekend coming up for Memorial Day.
Yeah, Memorial Day.
Memorial Day weekend, they'll be at Glen Helen. Should be a good time out there. I kind of wish, you know, we'll have to go when they come over this on our coast, because that's always a fun event when they get over here to Maryland, Bud's Creek. Then we had MotoGP in Le Mans, famous for their car racing and stuff like that. But Le Mans, I think it's a good track for...
Yeah, but holy, you mentioned this earlier, but holy crash, wow. Batman in Moto3.
Moto3.
12 bikes.
12 bikes in one turn. There's some oil got out on the track and
no one noticed.
Yeah, no one noticed, and wow, the leaders came in, the leaders went out. The top 12, only one guy made it through the corner, and he was so far offline there wasn't any oil there. And then it looked like,
I mean, it was just zip zip.
It looked like a new bride.
Zip zip.
It was like there was so much going on.
You had guys trying to jump over bikes.
You had guys ducking. Did you see the one guy duck the bike? You know, like it was like tumbling, and he just like face planted himself in the dirt. Smart move, right? Or he'd eaten the whole side of the bike. I mean, it was carnage. It looked like back in the 90s. It looked like back in the 90s when the WWF at the end of the night on their Monday Night Raws, where all the superstars come out and fight, and there'd be people laying all around. That's what it looked like. It looked like a WWF match happened in that turn. It was just a mess. And then maybe the most impressive tank slapper I've ever seen in my life was Darren Binder a few laps later. Did you see that?
I missed that one.
So he had a tank slapper where not only did he come off the bike, but at several times during this tank slapper out of the turn, the bike had both wheels off the ground.
I might have to look this one up.
You got to watch it.
What was his name again?
Darren Binder. Brother of Brad Binder. Right? He had... I was just looking to see where he finished. Or if he... No, he didn't. He crashed out.
Well, if he survived that, then he probably had another one.
He didn't have any. He didn't have any more to give. He used up all his tank slapper. He used up all his tank slapper luck in one tank slapper. Highlight reel tank slapper from that guy. But Moto3 finished with Joanne Mir winning by attrition. Right? I mean, pretty much all the championship contenders: Antonelli, Jorge Martin, Roman Fanati. They all crashed out, and then a bunch of other guys had just problems. Bastianini had some problems. Danny Kent had some problems, and Bulliger and all these other guys. If you didn't watch it, go back and watch just the crash alone, where everybody went and dove.
Yeah, that crash is spectacular, and luckily no one got.
No one got hurt. A lot of those guys made it back in.
I think a couple of them were complaining about their ankles later on, but because they got run into, their bikes slid into their ankles.
Bikes are sliding into people, cats and dogs having beers together. It was just a wild scene there. So it was just a bit of pandemonium, made for an interesting race. They red flagged it for like a week. At least it seemed like it. But guys got their bikes back together and got back out there. So Moto 2, almost said Mobile 2. Moto 2.
It was not, there was no excitement like there was in Moto 3.
No, it was kind of a boring race. Morbidelli got out to his lead. While he didn't have the dominating 5-second wins, you know, what he ended up winning by almost 2 seconds. I think it was 1.7. Yeah.
And even though there was challenged a few times, even if somebody got around him, you knew that he was taking it right back.
Yeah, he looked like
he was going to win from the start.
Yeah, he looked like a guy who's focused on, I'm going to win as many races as I can because next year I'm going to be in MotoGP. Right?
Well, that's a possibility.
Yeah, and he should be, right? the way he's racking up wins and stuff, he actually probably should be. He just looks like he's he's 4-for-4 on the races. What can you say? He's 4-for-4.
Well, I didn't pick Luthi this week in the poll.
In the pool.
So I know that he didn't win.
Third, I believe.
But I finally broke down and went with Morbidelli like everyone else.
I don't know how I don't think
you can't. I mean, there's,
you can't pick against
him. He looks so much better than everyone else.
Now he's going to have a crap race coming up.
Oh, he will.
You know, you can't go on winning forever.
You just got to pick out which one it's going to be. And I don't know how you
just
can do
ride
that.
It. You just ride it out, right? You stick with him and you ride it out because he's just that. Right now, he's just that much better than anybody else in the class. Where, not that Luthi isn't a phenomenal racer. Maybe Marquez. Oh no, he's not 4-for-4.
Marquez. I was thinking Marquez won 1-1.
That's right, because they're in the fifth race. Duh. But yeah, Marquez has to win, but he's 4 out of 5. Right, he's back to his winning ways. He's not. I don't know. He doesn't look like he's not going to keep winning.
We'll see. Yeah, and because he doesn't have the dominator there that there was there the last 2 years. He moved up to, and this is a good segue, to MotoGP, Zarco, and holy Zarco!
Yeah,
he looked so good this weekend.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for your home track, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard when somebody races one track more than the other people. It's hard to beat them. They know the lines. They know the passing points. It's routine. They don't have to think about things, right?
Well,
Zarco's been fast too.
He's been fast on every race.
Yes, but you know, he also lucked out. The Yamahas in general had a great race this weekend. Right?
Up to a certain point.
Up to a certain point. And my hopes and dreams was the last lap. But up to a certain point, it looked like they were going to take the podium with Vinales, Rossi, and Zarco, all three on the podium, which would have been a great podium for Yamaha. Rossi, I think Rossi had Nicky Hayden on the mind and was pushing too hard.
It seemed that way.
To get that win. So he could dedicate the race to Nicky.
Yeah, because if he'd been thinking, he would have taken the second place points just to add up,
right,
for the championship.
Right, and that's why I say that. I think
even though this is Vinales' third win,
yeah, Vinales now has a commanding lead in the points.
I don't think even if Rossi hadn't went down, I don't think he would have caught Vinales.
No, probably not.
So in my opinion, Rossi,
Rossi, I think he was a little far.
I think he was just a little too far.
He was just a little too far.
If he caught up to him, I don't think there was enough room to get a pass in. So Rossi was pushing it. You know, I think you're right to try to dedicate a race to Nicky Hayden, but that cost him.
Yeah.
And he should have just took the second because I don't think he would have caught him.
And Marquez crashed out early.
Yeah, we were talking about that at dinner when we said that the unfortunately, it looks like we're back to the records or checkers Marquez of 2 years
you know,
ago.
He won a championship 3 years ago. I thought, well, you know, it's rookie season. He's records or checkers, right? You know, he's fast when he races balls to the wall. He's fast.
Yeah, but this year he's not keeping the bike up.
Well, that's part of the you're always faster fastest before you crash. I'm pretty sure.
I wonder if these tires are because you've heard a lot of comments about it. You've heard the racers say something about it. You've heard the commentators on the pre-race shows talk about it. I wonder if these new tires this year are really giving them all the heartache that they're getting.
Maybe. Could be. You know, tires are very important, especially late in the races and stuff like that. Tires are very important. Marquez crashed out early, so everything was looking good for Rossi and Vinales and even Zarco, and then Rossi threw it away late. Danny Pedrosa ended up on the podium, which isn't really a surprise other than the fact that usually there's a lot of guys ahead of him on the podium, you know, for the podium. You know, I mean, Marquez would have kept him off, and Rossi would have kept him off. Dovizioso had the fourth. Crutchlow and then Lorenzo, who finished sixth, which has been a good finish for him. But in seventh place was the other Tektua Yamaha, you know, Jonas Folger. So Yamaha had something there. And Lawrence Bass had a good race for Lawrence Bass, considering since he moved up, he hasn't been doing well, but he's from France. And he ended up with a ninth place on his Ducati, which is saying a lot because he's been really
both Ducati
13.
Yeah, you know, we're in the top 10.
Yeah,
I don't know if we really expected that.
It's hard not to expect it because they still are a fast bike. I think the harder thing to suspect was Sylvain Guintoli on the Suzuki doing so bad. You know, that Iannone finished 10th. Both Suzuki bikes did worse than I was expecting. Considering one of the team Suzuki bikes finished below factory KTM in their first, you know what I mean? Like
in factory, their first year.
In their first year. So Sylvain Guintoli didn't do that. But again, you had quite a bit of crashes. I don't think Batista made the first lap. Right?
I don't think so.
Oh, sorry about that. Which is always good for Rossi, right? When Batista isn't there to hit him, you know, Rossi can usually have a pretty good race. But, you know, we had some crashes out. Rossi, Aleixo Espargaró, Mark Marquez, Scott Redding.
So when you're talking about them crashing into somebody, that's the one thing that hasn't happened yet this year.
Iannone hasn't taken
anybody
out yet.
Hasn't hit anybody.
Well, maybe because he's having such a hard time on the Suzuki. Although Vinales on that I think is a testimony to how fast Vinales can possibly be. Is he was fast on that Suzuki last year? Although Zarco on the Tektua Yamaha is looking.
The guy who made a decision to bring Zarco up has got to be a rock star right now.
Yeah, they're loving him because he's just like. They're like, you know, I'm not sure if you noticed this, but he went out right away and started leading races, you know, and I think Zarco will only get better. I mean, he's sitting fifth in points, which I think is just a shock. I think the bigger shock, though, is Pedrosa's second in points.
That is, you know, you would have never expected it at this point.
It's Vinales, Pedrosa, Rossi, Marquez, and Zarco.
Yeah, I at this point, I'm also find it hard to believe that Marquez is that high when he's had two DNFs.
Yeah, well, you also get the win, right? That 25 points is a big point.
It is.
Yeah, those are.
But zero points is a big no-no's,
right? We all know that from the pool.
I had to choose Marquez this week. Even though I put in my notes that I was thinking about taking Zarco because it's his home track, didn't pull the trigger. I went with Marquez, who should have won.
Oh, let's go, you got.
But he didn't.
Yeah, well, I don't think he should have won either. I don't think he had anything for Rossi Vinales, and I'm pretty sure he didn't have anything for Zarco. He did have a lot of things for the gravel trap. He'll be pulling rocks out of his booty for a while. But, yeah, so it was good to see those guys. They are done now for, 2 weeks?
I'm trying to remember. I think so, because Moto America is not
June 4th, 2 weeks. They'll be at Mugello.
And Moto America is going to be in Atlanta that same weekend.
Yeah, Moto America will be in Atlanta. And next week's going to be a rough week to watch because it will be...
World Superbike
is going to be in Great Britain at Donington Park. So it'll be a little rough. I'm sure they're going to have some tributes to Nicky Hayden because he is a World Superbike rider. I haven't seen anything from Team Honda who, if anybody's going to ride his bike. I don't even know who you'd put on it right now.
Oh, I want to go back to motocross for a second because we didn't mention this. Okay. Christian Craig raced at 450s on the Honda this past weekend.
Yes.
And didn't do that bad.
On Roxanne's bike.
Yeah, on Roxanne's bike.
Yes.
And he didn't do that bad. So I was actually surprised to see him get moved up from the 250 Supercross straight into the 450 motocross.
I don't think I was. Christian Craig is a pretty solid motocross guy.
He is,
guy.
But we were talking about, you know, C. Cirillo and some of these other guys. But, you know, hey, I was kind of surprised, but they got to get a rider, and they wanted to keep it in the family, I guess.
Yeah, they were keeping it in the family, and, you know, part of it says also it's a good way to test young riders, right? Like, you could always yank him down if he's not doing good. Right, or you can just sit there and say, "All right, hey, we know that's not the future." Right, with your star being out, it's not a bad time to test people.
No, it's not. And he's out for the entire season.
Yeah,
he may not be even back next season for Supercross because the way impression I got when he spoke is he's not looking until motocross next year.
Yeah, and I'd be shocked by then still, but. Anyways, I guess we should hit the road. I feel like we've talked a lot and I'm not into it, right? It just feels like a crappy week. You know, just all around. Too much death this week. Manchester, yeah. Roger Moore.
The last month has not been good in the motorcycle arena at all.
No, it really
not
hasn't.
Just for racing, but just motorcycling period. Because you got
although hey, you know what? Two things. I'm going to pause the music for a minute. I'm going to pause the music for a minute. I don't remember how to pause the music.
Stop the tape.
Hold the presses. A couple things I want to say before we punch out, and I didn't want to run out of time, so I stopped the music. We normally try not to do that. Two things. One, I met a former AMA, I guess former president of the AMA over the weekend.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was at like a vintage car race I was at, which was kind of funny because I started talking to this one guy about motorcycle racing. He's like, well, you know who that guy is. But somebody help me out. If you happen to know this, who won the 250 title in 1990? For I guess road racing, I don't know.
I'm sure the Google machine.
I tried Googling and I couldn't find it out. So I'm kind of interested if somebody out there remembers that
the American 250 or World 250?
Yeah,
250?
America. We don't. America's all that matters.
Well, I'm assuming that's what you meant, but you never know.
And then what was the other
1990?
Oh, and then the other thing I was going to say is, let me pull, it's been so long since I gave out the phone number, I don't actually remember what it is. But if you have some comments you want to say, I thought about this, and it was actually too late when I thought about this to get it out, to get stuff for this week, but if you want to call and leave a message, we have an answer machine that I can pull the voice, you know, the recordings off of. It's 267-CALL-NTN, 267-225-5686. You want to give like a Nicky Hayden story or, you know, anything like that, you know, say, you know, give your best to the family or anything. If you guys send all that stuff in, you know, if you call up and leave it on there, I'll cut it up and we'll play it during the show next week. Maybe we'll put it up extra and we'll try and hit the Haydens up and see if they, you know, let them know that you guys are all out there listening and thinking about them and stuff. And if anybody wants to do that, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. You know, I know people like putting things out on Twitter and stuff. Just be little personal way to put stuff out, and we'll gladly play it if you want. If you don't want us to play it, but you just feel like you got to say it, you can call too. But that's about where I was here. Now I'll play the music again. I'm just totally off my game today. You know, everything I was hoping to have positive reports. I was wishing all weekend that by Monday, you know, we'd have something positive to report on Nikki, and it just didn't work out, and it's kind of bummed. And reading everybody's comments on Facebook and Twitter, it's kind of bummed me out.
Yeah, it's just not a fun time.
Not fun. Anyways, that's it for this week. Hopefully next week we'll just have a better week.
Ty Davis or Denny Steffen?
I want to say Doug something is who I was looking
for. Well, 250 West and 250 East.
No, that's Supercross Road Racing. Not motocross.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. My eyes got crossed.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Visit us on Patreon.